Welcome to another exciting session in Ever Increasing Word Training Center. This class is Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, the book by Apostle Jonathan David. As always, I'm thankful for apostolic government and apostolic anointing and apostolic ministry. So therefore, I'm thankful that Apostle is behind all of us as instructors, and we depend solely upon the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Only He can escort us into the realm of the Spirit and help us to articulate to you the things that God wants to put in you in this school of ministry. We're going to take up from where we left off on last session, and it talks about remedies for spiritual ignorance. We're going to start with the one on, I think it's intimidation. Revelation. Okay, go ahead. Revelation knowledge. The whole kingdom of God. Notice that phrase. The whole kingdom of God is built up on revelation knowledge. In other words, knowledge that God reveals to us. That which is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, God reveals to us by His Spirit. And the keys of the kingdom is revelation knowledge. Notice that. The keys of the kingdom is revelation knowledge. You remember what 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, but I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither have it entered nor have it entered into the heart of man. Notice this phrase now. The things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now God hath prepared things for us. But the 10th verse say, but God hath, past tense designation, saying He's already made it known. But God had revealed them unto us, watch this, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is given to us so that revelation knowledge can be imparted to us by the Spirit. St. John 16 and 12, we'll read through the 15th verse, Jesus in verse 12 said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you are not able to bear them now. Well, why are sometimes we're not able to bear things? Because we have not grown or matured deep enough in the realm of the Spirit, which comes through meditation, prayer, amen, and clean living, holy living. Living a consecrated, sanctified, dedicated life. These are the hallmarks of the apostle and the school of ministry. So in St. John 16, 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now. Howbeit, when he, I know a word was missing, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reality, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, notice that phrase, he will guide you. The Holy Spirit is a guide. He is an expert in spiritual matters. Only the Holy Spirit can escort us into the realm of the Spirit and cause us to navigate through all of the traffic that exists in the realm of the Spirit. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide us into what? All truth. Now notice this, for the Holy Spirit shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He's an eavesdropper. He's listening to the Father and the Son, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He, the Holy Spirit, will show you things to come.
He shall
Now, the Holy Spirit's assignment is to glorify the Lordship of Jesus and to reveal to us that as he is, so are we in this world. Keep reading. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. We cannot do anything in this earth realm without revelation knowledge. As a matter of fact, your first line of faith is what the Holy Spirit speaks. Remember, so then faith cometh by hearing. So the Holy Spirit speaks what he hears. And if the Holy Spirit speaks what he hears and speak it unto you, are you listening? Then you can understand why faith is in the realm of the Spirit. And it is designed to transform the soul. Because faith is soul instruction. Are you listening? Go ahead. The second remedy for spiritual ignorance is apostolic teaching. The end time church will embrace an apostolic mantle of teaching. This mantle will help to update our experiences and bring the church into conformity to the New Testament patterns and standards. Acts 2:42. Now notice this phrase, and they, this is not only the apostles, this is also after Peter preached, and I believe there was over 3,000 people added to the church that day. And they continued steadfastly. Notice that phrase, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Notice that phrase, and they continue steadfastly in who? The apostles' doctrine. That's a very important thing. The first gift Jesus gave is also the first gift that God set. He set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing. Are you listening? And helps and government. That covers the whole spectrum of the fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. We understand that they make up God in the earth realm. Are you listening? I've always said to you that Jesus gave those gifts, and those gifts represent him. The church has primarily been functioning on the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, because people want a pet. But no, God said, I set first in the church, 1 Corinthians 12:28, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And so in God's government, his heaven to earth government, it is the apostle that's responsible for opening up the portals of heaven, giving us access to all of the benefits of God, all of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ are made known to us as the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher properly connects to the apostle. They function as one man, and that one man becomes God's I am-ness in the earth realm. Go ahead. Other hindrances to the operation of gifts is fear and snares, fear of men, fear of failure, fear of making mistakes, and fear of having satanic influences on when you speak, fear of poverty, and fear of the future. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth what? A snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now we got to go to Jeremiah 17 and 5. Cursed is the man that trusted in man. See, that's the problem. We trust more in man than in God. What did it say? Jeremiah 17 and 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, in whose heart who that departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heat in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but he shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers, and she shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Do you see that? That's Psalm 1, 1, 2, 3, all over the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, or her delight, is in the what? Law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate, what? Day and night. And that person shall be like a what? Tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. That is bespeaking the person who trusts in God. You can't trust in God without meditation. Without meditation. Joshua 1:8. You know, Joshua 1:8. Turn to it. Let's read Joshua 1:7-8. Amen. Then we'll finish. Joshua 1:7-8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thine mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both what? Day and night, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and only then, shalt thou make thy way what? Prosperous, and thou shalt have what? Good success. See, our apostle trains us in a lot of things. You know, good success is when you're living in success as a lifestyle. Always. You know, it's not a destination. It's a journey. Good success. Always improving. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The next verse says, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. That's when you trust him. Okay, go ahead, daughter. Intimidation. An act of continual harassment until the person's wall of resistance is broken and he starts to belittle and despise what he is and what he has. Read Nehemiah chapter 4. Types of ignorance. Not knowing what to do with what we have. And not knowing how to get what we do not have. Gifts, love, or both? First Corinthians teaches, First Corinthians chapter 12, you read those verses, 1 through 7. Are you listening? Amen. Read and meditate those verses. Go ahead. First Corinthians teaches gifts are not an option, even though we have love. Gifts are to flow through the atmosphere and the motivation of love. It is not gifts versus love, a love versus gifts. Psalm 62 and 11. Somebody get it. Read. God had spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Love is the motivation. But power is that which brings the accomplishment of what God desires in his love for us. The benefits of the motivation of love. Gifts that are flowing through love make us functioning members within the church. The bridegroom's voice of love is Revelation chapter number 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou doest not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy releases the testimony of Jesus Christ directly to us. Jesus testifies to what God and he are saying in the heavens about us. Chapter number 2. Now, chapter number 2, we're going to deal with the three categories of gifts. The first category of gifts are the vocal gifts or mouth gifts or speaking gifts. There are three vocal gifts. Divers kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Vocal gifts are tools of what? Inspiration. That's because they are God-breathed. Go ahead. They stir up and they inspire people. They enliven the worship and they notice that phrase. They release the atmosphere. They inspire new strength into the believer's spirit. The vocal gifts releases the consciousness of God's presence. God's presence, present, quickens or becomes more alive and active and renews their spirits with new life. God's presence removes spiritual lethargy. That's why many times when you go to church, amen, and you come from work or you come through some trying day and you get into the right atmosphere where there's a prophetic flow, where the Spirit of God is moving, it will literally change your disposition. That freshness in the atmosphere that's created when a word of prophecy is spoken. It charges up and changes the climate, the atmosphere. You know, in order to have a tornado, you got to have the right type of atmospheric conditions. In order to have an hurricane, you have to have what? The right atmospheric conditions. Well, you know, I know tornadoes and hurricanes happen in certain parts of the country, and people think it's an act of God. No, it's an act of Satan. But, you know, there ought to be some hurricanes and tornadoes in your life. Why? To destroy all of the works of the enemy. Go ahead. Vocal gifts bring the word of God to the people of God. Vocal gifts bring, notice this phrase, a fresh word for the season. So a fresh word, y'all ready for this, releases fresh oil. A now word, the now word, see, God is the God of the what? Now. So a now word causes us to function in and to live from now faith. Everything about God is in the present moment. That's why God don't want you fearing yesterday or tomorrow. Stay in the present. Stay in the present moment. Know that God is always with you. And God is always for you. God is in you, functioning through you. You know, apostles have declared unto us that 2023, we shall live the lifestyle of being more than a conqueror. All year long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, refusing to be defeated because we are properly being inspired. Now, y'all know preaching. You're listening. See, right kind of preaching will change your life. Anointed preaching. Amen. Preaching that comes from the Holy Ghost. Words that the Holy Ghost, watch this, breathe upon. See, when the Holy Ghost is breathing upon words, they become life. You listening? Go ahead. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is. I love it. Now faith is. You know what now means? Never on wait. Y'all know what now means? It can come out no other way. Now, faith is always in the now. I'll never forget when God spoke this to me. He said, if it is not now, it is not faith. If it is not now. What does that mean, Dr. Walker? If you are not speaking as though it's already done, that's in the now, huh? You're not living in the present moment. You're not living in the finished work of Christ. It is done. It is finished. Are you listening? Now faith is to live in the present moment. So God said, if it is not now, if it is not now, if it is not in the present tense, you listening? It is not faith. But this marvelous revelation is that if it is not faith, he said, you have not won. And now, spelled backwards, is won. Don't act like you saw that before. You've been reading that all your life. See, we are, listen to this. He's already won the victory. So we are in a finished work. But that cannot happen without living in the what? Now. A now faith is word. Go ahead.
Faith brings a change.
Faith brings a change of spiritual mood and the atmosphere of faith. And liberty releases God's people. Faith helps the believer to faith. Now see, faith is not complicated. I know the scriptures say now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what? The substance of things. Things what? Things hoped for. Well, you ready for this? You don't have a right to have faith if God never promised you something. Faith is always based upon a promise made. Are you listening? Are you listening? Faith is always based upon what? A promise made. Do you know in order for us to access the promises of God, we have to follow the instructions of faith. So here's an acronym for faith. Write it down vertically, F-A-I-T-H, following apostolic instructions through hearing. That's what faith really is. And to back that up, you have Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, not just any kind of hearing. Y'all ready for this? I'm not even talking about hearing when the preacher preach. That shock you. Because the preacher could be preaching and you still are not hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That must be connected to St. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickened it. Jesus is the one doing the speaking. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The way that God works is God chooses apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You ready for this? And he puts his word in their mouths so that when they speak, it's God speaking. So if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word was made flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was in fact God. The 14th verse say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then you go to Galatians 2:20, it says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I, but it is who? Christ that liveth what? In me. Now here it comes. And the life that I now live in the what? In the flesh. I live it by the faith of who? I live it by the faith of the Son of God. So in faith, we live by the faith of the Son of God. You catching this? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the only proper way to operate fully in faith is to be hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears from the Father and the Son. And he brings it to us. You listening? And all we need to do to be successful is to follow those instructions. Are you listening? See, God give instructions, we follow direction. You got that? Instructions are directional. Instructions mean I have a part to play. Are you listening? Okay, go ahead, child. Vocal gifts are channels to bring in whatever we need to say to those who we are ministering to. We become open channels. We become open channels to do what? Speak on God's behalf. That's a serious thing, right? So that's why people have to quit playing with God. Talking about God said. Let me tell you something about when God say. God say when I speak. Isaiah 55:11. No word of mine goes out and returns unto me what? Void. No word of God goes out and come back empty. Because God's word carries with it creative power and creative ability to bring to pass and to fulfill itself. Are you listening to that?
We have a few minutes left, so we'll pick back up on next week, and we'll maybe go over some of these things that we didn't get a chance to cover this evening. But you have a blessed evening.